Scala, AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Skull fuck you! Skull fuck you!
John and Scott back with you with another part.
Episode 22, part 2. Oh, that's like 2T2, man.
Yeah, 22
totally. 2T2.
Hey, man. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we're back with part 2 of 22, 2T2. And some good times at 2T2, remember?
Oh, no doubt. I remember. I remember them well. No doubt. 2T2.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Some killer times.
Well, John, usually in part one, I ask you if you've seen any movies, but I forgot. Have you seen any movies?
I have not.
Oh, me neither. So I guess we can scratch that from our agenda.
Scratch that one.
I did see some movies that I've seen previously, which nothing worth mentioning, I guess, because I can't think of anything. So we'll move on. And do you know what it is today, John? Do you know what day it is today?
What's that, Scott?
It's Columbus Day.
I'm playing something sexy.
No doubt. It gets me all hot. Now, Columbus Day, when you and I went to school, and still today, to this day, my daughter, Emma, who's in second grade, Columbus was the greatest guy ever. He discovered America. Everybody said the earth was flat. He said it was round. He came over here. He was a great guy. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be here. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's how historians. And so there's a day, there's a celebratory day in America called Columbus Day for Christopher Columbus.
Who was Italian.
Who was Italian, right. And he went to Spain and he said to the Spanish kingdom, give me some cash, and I'm going to go over to India, and I'm going to get some gold, and I'm going to bring it back. All right? So he thinks he's going to sail to India.
The West Indies. West Indies.
He happens to run into the Americas. He ended up in South America, didn't he?
Yeah.
But when he got there, he thought he was in India, so he called all of them Indians. That's why the American Indians have their name, Indians. But they're not Eastern Indian like the...
Right.
The ones with the dots on their heads.
Huh?
Yeah. So the reason he came was for gold. Not to discover anything. Not to be this great hero that my daughter learns about in school in second grade and that you and I, John, learned about when we went to school.
Right.
So the history books have been all jacked up by, who knows, maybe they were Italians, I don't know. But the reason Christopher Columbus sailed the seven seas was to get gold. That's it. That's how he got the prince and princess of Spain to give him money to sail over here to get gold. And this is from his own journal, John. He wrote a journal, and I'm quoting from it now. I'm going to do the Jean Depardieu Christopher Columbus, because that's the one I saw in 1492. From here... One night, one might send in the name of the Holy Trinity. And John, you and I know that to be, what is the Holy Trinity?
The Father.
The Son.
The Holy,
and the Holy Ghost.
Spirit.
As many slaves as could be sold. So what happened, folks, is when he got here and he couldn't find all the gold he needed to, what he did is he rounded up all the natives as slaves to send them back to Europe. What a great guy Mr. Christopher Columbus was. He also said this, quote, "The Mexicans are no better than the Indians, and I see no reason why we should not take their land too," John of AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
You like how quick I am with the Hindu music when you said India?
Oh, no doubt.
And it took
me about
an hour.
No, that's hot, man. You're the best producer in the business.
Yeah, right. One of my applications shit the bed right while we were talking.
One of your applications shit the bed. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
It just kind of like aired out.
Oh.
I had to Control-Alt-Delete it.
Control-Alt-Delete. And he's messing with cables now? and he's plugging things in and unplugging other things. This man is on top of it. John, producer, AKC Total Fuck Nonsense.
Okay, so now we got the whining.
That's fine. You're not going to hear that in post, man. Oh, that's bad.
You won't?
No, not at all. So what do you got there, John? What do you got? Talk to me. Talk to me.
What do I got?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, you know, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are having a baby, right?
Right, they're having a baby. Now, you think that's Tom's spermatozoa that impregnated Katie?
I doubt it.
Well, if it is, did it get there through natural means? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the old cock and the pussy?
Oh, my God.
I doubt it. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Because Mimi Rogers divorced Tom Cruise because he never pulled out the Woody and stuck it in the old Coos monster.
He is, like, trying way too hard to show everybody how in love he is. They're showing him, you know, every time the camera's on him, he's got his arm around her, and he is fucking freaky, dude. I mean, he is going over the top.
Yeah, he's totally fucked up. And the guy's our age, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would we act this fucking ridiculous?
No.
I guess if we got the chance to date Katie Holmes, we might.
Yeah, well.
But it would wear off after a week, wouldn't
it? Sure, absolutely.
This guy's been going on for like 3 or 4 months now.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic.
But this is what I've been reading.
All right.
Will Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes get hitched before they have their baby?
Oh, that's a question on everybody's mind, especially Katie Holmes' Catholic parents.
Professional gamblers are betting that they will. Hours after Tomcat, that's what they're calling him.
Tomcat,
you know, Katie,
right, yeah.
Tom, announced that they are expecting professional wagers had already started placing their bets on the details of the unborn child known as Tom Kitten. And at PinnacleSports.com, they're saying that the odds are in favor of Cruise and Holmes getting married before the child is born, with 4-9 odds in favor of versus 2-1 odds that the couple will have their baby out of wedlock. They're also betting that Cruise's first biological child will be a boy, with 10-13 odds, while the betting on the couple having a baby girl stands at 11-10 odds.
Whatever that means.
Those wacky wagers are even betting on the baby's name with standards such as Michael, Matthew, and
Cletus?
Ethan.
What about Cletus?
No Cletus here.
No Cletus?
Scott. I don't see any.
What about Elron?
Elron.
The goof, the floop.
What is the L for anyways? Loser?
Loser Ron.
Loser Ron, the goof, the floop. Actually, he's not much of a loser. Pretty smart dude. Get people to throw money his way.
Make bajillions off of stupid people like Tom Cruise. Why can't we think of something like that?
Well, anyway, Michael, Matthew, Ethan being the favorites for boys, 30-1 odds. Girls' favorite names are Emily, Emma. And Madison, 35-1. The chances of a baby girl getting named Nicole or Penelope are long shots at 150-1.
I would think. What about Mimi?
I don't see it.
That'd
here,
be like 2 gazillion to 1.
The same odds, given the possibility that she'll be named Brooke, October 9th, 2005, 4:35 p.m.
After Brooke Shields, no way.
Yeah.
That because she's
same
like
odds, 150-1.
Drug user when she doesn't need drugs.
And then I got this
her.
Other one. This is October 9th, 2005. I don't know what the hell I did here. Smurfs draw blood with their anti-war message.
Smurfs?
Yeah, this is from the London Telegraph. Brussels.
I haven't heard a lot from the Smurfs in a long
time.
That's
right, but you will now, because from Brussels, Belgians have been left reeling by an episode of the Smurfs in which the blue-skinned cartoon character's village is annihilated by warplanes. The chilling film is the work of UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, and will be broadcast on the national television this week. The animation was approved by the family of the Smurfs' late creator, Peyo. Belgian television viewers were P-E-Y-O. I don't know what the fuck. P-O? Pio?
Yeah.
Belgian television viewers were given a preview of the 25-second film last week when it was shown on the main evening news. Reactions ranged from approval to shock, and in the case of small children who saw the episode by accident, wailing terror.
So the Smurfs got bombed?
Yeah. UNICEF and IMPS, the family company that controls all the rights to the Smurfs, have stipulated it shall not be broadcast before 9 p.m. The short film pulls no punches. It opens with Smurfs dancing hand in hand around a campfire and singing the Smurf song. Tiny Smurfs scatter and run in vain from the bombs before being felled by blast waves and fiery explosions.
Like napalm?
Yeah. The last scene shows a scorched and tattered baby Smurf sobbing inconsolably.
What did they? Inconsolably.
Inconsolably surrounded by prone Smurfs.
Prone? What does that mean? Waiting for anal?
Oh,
prone.
The final frame bears the message, don't let war affect the lives of children.
Okay. Why don't they just show that to the W? Why do we need to see that?
I don't know.
That's the guy in charge, stupid ass.
I don't know.
That's hot. So can we get that and post it on our website or what?
Maybe. It's only 28 seconds.
28 seconds. I'll try to find it, man. I will go out there on the web and try to find
it's
the Smurfs being
25 seconds.
Napalmed for whatever by UNICEF. For whatever reason.
A UNICEF.
UNICEF. Well, John, getting back to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Did you know that Katie Holmes dumps her publicist?
Oh, wow.
After 9 years?
Really?
Do you know who her new publicist is?
Don't tell me. Tom Cruise's sister?
You got it, man. After 9 years, she fired publicist Leslie Sloan Zelinick.
Oh, my God.
And has hired her fiancé, Tom Cruise's sister, as her new spokesperson. What a stupid ass.
Oh, my God.
The Batman Begins star and Cruise announced their pregnancy last week, which comes only 6 months after the couple began dating. Since Holmes began her controversial relationship with Cruise, she has parted ways with management company, agents, and now Sloan Zelinick. Holmes will now be represented by Cruise's sister and fellow Scientologist, Lee Ann DeVette.
Oh, my God.
Who became the actor's spokesperson last year after he left his longtime publicist. And when he did leave his longtime publicist, that's when we found out the true maniac that was Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right.
So now, the both of them are having the same publicist, it should be fun. I'm saying, John, it should be fun for you and I, Total Talk Nonsense, because they are completely out of control.
Oh, totally.
And completely insane. Completely insane.
Totally.
Now, don't you have a story about Katie Holmes and how they're suggesting she gives birth to her Tom Kitty? Tom Kitt?
Scientology style.
And what is that?
That's what she's going to do.
What does that mean?
No drugs, no nothing, and she's not allowed to scream and wail.
And have pain.
Right.
Does this woman knows what she signed up for here?
You stupid bitch!
I bet you before she even gives birth, like if they do get married, she's going to get a divorce.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Within, like, the first year, because if she's has any ounce of sanity in her head, after she goes through with this where they say, oh, no, you can't have any drugs. You have to give birth naturally. And this whole nonsense with Tom Cruise is finally going to sink in, and she's going to be like, what the F?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to me? What am I doing?
Yeah.
And she'll get a divorce.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's my prediction.
Yeah.
But if she's completely insecure and brainwashable, then she will be
with... Well, she's real young, you know.
She'll be with Tom Cat.
She's an impressionable.
Tom Cruise for about 10 years. That's my prediction.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
I miss that motherfucker.
Speaking of Scientology...
Yeah.
There's a sexual assault nightmare.
Really?
That Scientology is going through right now.
Thomas Aquinas.
You a choir boy. A former Scientology staffer is breaking her silence about being sexually assaulted 100 times.
Who are you?
Between the age of 16 and 17 by the church supervisor she was ordered to live with.
Really?
And then receiving threatening phone calls and intimidating phone calls when she reported the abuse. Five years ago, Gabriel Williams, then a 27-year-old chief supervisor at the Church of Scientology in Mountain View, California, forced then 16-year-old Jennifer Stewart to have intercourse with him on the first evening she moved in.
That's male harassment.
After Williams was charged with rape and sodomy with a minor and later convicted of sexual battery and sodomy, Stewart's family endured death threats, stalkers, and other harassment.
You filthy slob.
We want the world to know that when Tom Cruise calls psychiatry a pseudoscience, it's all part of Scientology's plan to brainwash people, said Stewart's husband, Tom Gorman, referring to the actor's Today Show interview in June. In a related civil suit brought by Stewart against Williams and the church, she recently received, as part of a settlement, a generous monetary resolution, said her attorney.
Those guys are fucked.
Although the church admitted no wrongdoing, it forked over 700 G's.
Wow.
And it made out on the deal, okay?
How the hell did it make out?
It made out because all they have to do is tap some other stupid ass celebrity that has unload comes to mind, but that's not it. That has a lot of money. Let's just say that, okay?
Yeah.
That has a lot of money. They get him in for two sessions,
yeah.
700 G's right
daddy?
There. Boom. Gone.
Yeah.
And then they just fork it over to this lawyer with this woman who was raped repeatedly by the Church of Scientology.
That's great.
Oh, you want to fuck with me?
No.
You think you know bad?
I don't.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me.
You're right.
A choir boy.
I want to goof the floop.
Choir boy.
Let's goof the floop.
Goof. The floop.
And there you have it.
That's great. That's fucking awesome.
Did you know
what kind of a whack job?
Thomas Aquinas.
Did you know that the grand jury indicted Mr. Tom DeLay? Did you know that?
No. When?
The Texas grand jury. That was on October 3rd. We haven't been here for a while. Tom DeLay on a new charge of money laundering. Less than a week after another grand jury leveled a conspiracy charge that forced DeLay to temporarily step down as the House Majority Leader.
Stop whining. No deal.
So we love Tom DeLay. Yeah. I don't know why he's being indicted.
I don't know.
He seems like such a stand-up guy. But here are some quotes I pulled that Tom DeLay has said in the past. For instance, quote, I am not a federal employee. I am a constitutional officer. My job is the Constitution of the United States. I am not a government employee. I am in the Constitution. Another quote.
What?
I don't believe there is separation of church and state. I think the Constitution is very clear. The only separation is that there will not be a government church.
Oh, my God.
Here's another quote. A woman can take
care
of the family.
What happened to the wall?
It takes a man to provide structure, to provide stability. Here's another quote.
You cannot lead if you send mixed messages.
We're no longer a superpower, we're a super duper power. Here's another one.
Oh, my God.
So many minority youths have volunteered that there are literally no room for patriotic folks like myself. That was Tom DeLay explaining at a GOP convention why he and Vice President nominee Dan Quayle did not fight in the Vietnam War. Let me repeat that. So many minority youths had volunteered that there was literally no room for patriotic folk like myself.
Oh, my. What a dumbass.
And our favorite quote from John and Scott, Total Talk Nonsense. Guns have little or nothing to do with juvenile violence. The causes of youth violence are working parents who put their kids into daycare, the teaching evolution in schools, and working mothers who take birth control pills. So this fucking retard, I can't believe he was the House Majority Leader. Stupid ass Tom DeLay is finally indicted.
Well, there's a reason why, and the reason is that he was so good at drumming up money, campaign funds, that they loved him. They right. didn't care he was a whack job.
They called him the hammer.
As long as he didn't do anything illegal.
He was
illegal.
The hammer.
And the thing about, and this is the thing, I get email back and forth with this, I call him the GOP, because he just is a total Bush apologist.
And can we get him in as a guest?
It's not Marty. I don't know. He lives in Arizona.
Oh.
He just, it's impossible. He's one of those guys, he's set in his ways. You know, he's 60.
Right.
And so he oh, shit, where was I now?
GOP, Tom DeLay, set in his ways.
Shit.
Yeah.
I totally forgot now.
Threw my notes
out,
retarded.
Too. Fucking retarded. But, yeah, I was talking about, yeah, Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay. Oh, yeah. I got it. I brought it back. It's here. No, the whole thing about proven conspiracy. Conspiracy and extortion and all those things that have to do with money is really hard to do. Because, you know, there's no fingerprints. It's not like somebody's holding a gun.
There's no photographs.
There's no photographs. There's no finger. So it's really hard to do. You got to have actually witness testimony. You got to have, like, some sort of paper trail. And usually they try to get them on perjury or something like that where they lie about what they're saying. And
how about for being a fucking moron?
Well, anyways,
how about that? Why can't we convict people for that?
Well, unfortunately, we can't. But I email back and forth with this guy, and he's always like, because I always put up the Bush crime family. You can type in the Bush crime family. Remember with the Google. Type in failure, the first thing that comes up?
George W.
George W.'s biography. But you can put in the Bush crime family, and you get all this stuff. And the problem is a lot of these guys who do the websites, they just suck at doing them. They look so terrible, you know. But then if you drill down into the information, you really find a lot of shit about them. Like here they are, this moral high ground, and this is this Tom DeLay guy talking about the birth control. And
evolution in schools,
and what
it's
was
corrupting
the other thing?
Our youth.
The other thing was
working moms
daycare.
With daycare.
Yeah. But that look at fucking look
ape.
At all the Bush kids. Look at them all.
All right,
the Marvin Bush kid, the Neil Bush with the savings and loan, George Bush, Jeb Bush's kids, George Bush with his. His cocaine use, his drinking, his alcohol, his two kids with driving drunk.
His mental retardation.
His, I mean, come on.
DNA that resembles a chimp.
What kind of an example is that? We lead good Christian lives. We don't believe in evolution. We believe in creationism. Our kids weren't put in daycare. But look at Jeb Bush's daughter. She's a freaking crack addict that was caught doing crack in rehab.
So you know she's sucking some guy's cock to get crack.
Well, what?
Indiscriminately.
It's just hilarious.
Maybe we should get in here. Her in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she lives next door, doesn't she?
Yeah.
With the
with Gordon?
The crystal meth teeth.
Oh, that may even be her.
Remember that broad that
we
wanted
don't
to
know.
Come over here and hang out with us?
Yeah, that might be her.
She had the crystal meth smile.
Because I've never seen a picture of the Bush daughter. Maybe
hey,
that's her.
Is this your suitcase in the garbage? No. It's all yours, man.
Oh. You can have it.
Excellent. You're in a band? Yeah. Can I come over and jam with you guys? Like if you fix your teeth.
Which is impossible.
Did you see those things, man? They were literally shaved down to the gums.
And they were like little nubs, little spiky nubs. And the gums were like brown. It was nasty.
Where we broadcast from, it's like this little L-shaped or U-shaped, like business, what do you call this, office complex?
sure.
And out of the 5 or 6 units that are here, 2 or 3 of them, people live in them.
They're zoned commercial.
Yeah, they're zoned commercial, so they can't live resident. There's no residential zoning.
But people live here.
They live
like
here.
Gordon next door.
Yeah.
And we're assuming he's alcoholic and divorced.
But they're all okay, you know. They don't bug us.
So
except
far.
For the first time.
So
first
far, so good.
Month or so, they went crazy because, you know, we cranked up the band.
Because we're a band.
And
we play loud music.
Hey, man, are you going to do that all the time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're going to keep me up. I work late.
Yeah, you
we're
work at
keep
what?
Keep you up working?
Work at what, Gordon, you fuckhead?
Hey, man, he was nice. He gave us this really nice picture.
It is a nice
it's
picture.
It's not nice of a naked lady.
We should take a picture of that picture, and post it on our website.
Yes.
Of the picture that Gordon gave to us.
Yeah. And,
in episode 22, part 2, 2T2.
I was going to bring him over some Thanksgiving dinner last year.
That's gay.
Because I had a ton of shit left over.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's gay?
That's gay.
What's wrong with you? What do you mean it's gay?
Why not?
Because the guy, he might be hungry.
All right.
What's wrong with a nice hot meal?
Okay.
I mean, he grills out with that little
what about me?
Grill.
I'm hungry. You don't think
listen
of bringing it
you,
over to my
man.
House?
Shut up.
You fuck.
You're loaded.
Oh, yeah, right.
Freaking loaded.
I'm
drive
loaded.
Around that nice Honda.
It's all an illusion.
With the big dents in it.
It's all, it's that's all a stolen illusion. Car.
So everything is all on credit?
Yeah, I lost my job like 18 months ago.
No wonder I can't get you over there. I've been calling.
At work?
Yes.
Yeah, I told them to forward my calls, but they don't, fuckers.
Somehow you still have the same email address.
Well, getting back to Bush, and I love talking about Bush.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean the president.
Oh.
Did you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, Bush claimed that God told him to invade Iraq. Did you know that?
Yeah. I read about that.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I read about it.
George W. allegedly said God told him to invade Iraq in a van.
It's not allegedly. It was a damn interview where he said it.
In a BBC documentary.
Yes.
The U.S. leader also told them that he had been ordered by God to create a Palestinian state. What a fucking retard.
Palestinian state.
Bush
now,
said to all of us.
When are people going
to
learn, don't fuck with these religious fanatics? Even our own country. Doesn't history tell you enough times that the religious fanaticism is what leads to uncertain death for anybody who doesn't follow along.
Right. Heretic!
Mean,
heretic!
I read something today that even, and it was off of Cecil, good old Cecil.
Cecil Adams.
From the Straight Dope. Somebody asked him about something about did Jesus exist or something. Oh, no, they were asking about what about the other Gospels in the that are not in the Bible? And he alludes to the Gospel of Thomas, but the one I'm reading is about the secret Gospel of Thomas, which was written later. And there's one that's earlier, like the infancy Gospel of Thomas, which talks about...
Thomas Aquinas?
No, it talks about Jesus as a youth.
Youth.
And that he killed 3 people.
Sweet.
Because they weren't following along with what he was saying. He just got pissed off and took them out. So
okay.
The parents were like, you know what? You can't go outside.
So Laura Bush does that too. So what?
What's that?
She kills people.
She just runs them down in her car.
And then, yeah. So what's the difference? Laura Bush is Jesus then.
I'm just saying, you know, this whole thing about the guy who's this man of peace.
Right. Well, my favorite quote is, President Bush said to all of us, driven
hear the
with,
train?
I do.
Listen.
I'm driven with a mission from God. Okay, so we just watched the Blues Brothers or something?
Wait,
where
this
they
is
said,
what he... This...
I'm on a mission from God.
And that translates
it.
To...
He paraphrased it to, I'm driven with a mission from God. God would tell me, George. So God would address him by his first name. George, go and fight those terrorists in Afghanistan. And I did. And then God would tell me, George, that is fabulous production, my man. Then God would tell me, George, go and fight those terrorists in Afghanistan. Terrorists. And I did. And then God would tell me, George, go and end the tyranny in Iraq. And I did. And now again, I feel God's words coming to me. Go get the Palestinians their state and get the Israelis their security. And get peace in the Middle East. And by God, I'm going to do it. What a fucking moron.
You see,
mental patient.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah, he's
John, you and I, if we went to the White House right now and said, hey, God talked to me and here's what he said, you know what they'd do with us?
Sweet mother of God,
fucking
what is the hold up?
They'd put us in a psychiatric ward is what they do. So I don't know why they're not locking up George W. right now in a fucking psychiatric ward. Because God is not only addressing him, he's addressing him by his first name. Now, if that ain't fucked up, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you know what I say to him?
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
You better pray to the God of skinny punks that this wind doesn't pick up. Because I'll come over there and jam an oar up your ass.
Anyway, you can see this in the BBC three-part series, Elusive Peace, Israel and the Arabs. And we'll try to get some audio from that because, God damn it. God damn it.
God damn it.
I can't believe that God would talk to a chimp and address him by his first name.
Lucky Dick.
Dickweed.
How are we doing on time?
We're doing just fabulous there, Scotters.
That's outstanding because I'd like to get into this other Bush bullshit. Because he nominated this woman to be on the Supreme Court, the top court in the United States of America, folks.
Stood, buttwad.
But President Bush insisted that Harriet Myers is the best qualified candidate for the Supreme Court and assured skeptical conservatives that this lawyer-turned-nominee shares his judicial philosophy. So he's got a... We got a chips... Judicial philosophy that's being shared? Oh, I'm so happy about that. This fucking moron. Dismissing Democratic charges of cronyism, Bush said, I picked the best person I could find. People know we're close. The best person he could find within a fucking 100 feet of him.
The best.
Stupid ass.
The best person.
Yeah, the best person. This is ridiculous.
You'll do.
Bush has known Myers for more than 10 years, his first personal lawyer, which means she got him out of some DUI
or
something.
Well, did you ever see the picture that's floating around in the video of...
Where they compare to...
No.
The Emperor from Star Wars?
No, there's a video, the only like known video and picture of her with him, and she's handing him... a document, which is the memo saying that Osama bin Laden is going to blow up a military installation or fly planes into like some financial buildings in August, 1 month before September 11th. Oh, and he's just like kicking back. He's like, but what the fuck is this shit? I can't read.
Well, here's my dilemma, John. We try to make this a comedy show, but when you tell me shit like that, I get so goddamn depressed. That the American people are so stupid that they fucking elect this monkey in the highest office other than the U.S. citizen in the land. And we got to deal with it. Now we try to make fun of this fuckface. But it's depressing because he's such a stupid ass. And nobody seems to get that through their thick fucking skulls.
I think they
you
are.
And I
think they are because the polls are showing that his approval rating is at 37%. And then every time he gets on the air and he goes and he says something like, you know, this war in Iraq is really important because of September 11th. And he always links Iraq to September 11th. Then the next morning you turn on CNN or you turn on the Today Show and the terror alert is elevated to orange. They're concerned about trains being bombed in New York every goddamn time.
John, it's all
Keith Olbermann came out and it's part of catapulting
the propaganda.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just, it's unbelievable.
You cannot lead if you send mixed messages.
The truth of the matter is, if you listen carefully, Saddam would still be in power if he were the president of the United States. The world would be a lot better off.
What a fucking dumbass. Well, you know, John, in the same news conference,
not tell the truth.
Bush refused to comment on the issue looming over White House, the investigation into the leak of the CIA agent identity. With two top White House officials, a focus of inquiry, Bush was asked whether he would fire anybody. I'm not going to talk about the investigation until it's complete. And on Katrina, Bush said he would work with Congress to make real cuts in non-security spending to help rebuild the Gulf Coast. Now get this, John. This fucking makes me want to vomit. The private sector will be the engine that drives the recovery of the Gulf Coast. And you know why you and I, the private sector, have to fund that? Because all of our fucking tax money is going to that Theo in Iraq.
Yeah, right.
That's why.
No doubt.
This stupid ass. But he also said,
work with Congress. You know what, Bush? Your fucking job is executive, which means execute.
Execute.
So Congress makes the laws, and you execute them. And then the courts and all that, they interpret them. That's it. Separation of powers. Why the hell are they so convoluted? Why are they always together on shit? It's all wrong. It's all fucked up.
It's because he's giving fucking jobs to anybody he knows. You know, in a podcast, a couple of podcasts ago, John, I said, goddamn reality shows, why weren't they around when we were around? You know what I'm saying? When we were in high school.
Yeah.
Because we would have gone out to Hollywood, and we would have hooked up with celebrities, and we would have had it made. But here's what I'm saying, John, okay? if we had known
from God.
This fucking Bush guy, wouldn't we have flown down to Texas and become his best pal? Because we'd have been like the head of FEMA by now.
Yeah.
We would have been whatever. If you're a buddy of Bush, we could have, John, on the Supreme Court, I could see it now. If you were drinking buddies with this a-hole, and you got him out of a DUI, he'll put you on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And you don't have any fucking experience other than blowing him or whatever you goddamn do. And this woman's never been married. She's 60. She's never been married. That's a problem for me, John.
Yeah.
Especially when you're touting this, homos can't get married. It's got to be male, female, blah, blah, blah. But this chick can't get married.
Yeah.
What is that? Are you ending the segment?
Yeah, we
got
to go.
No, man, I got one more.
No.
I got one more point.
All right.
It's the critical point here.
Go ahead.
Also in this news conference, Bush said that he was considering whether the U.S. military should be used to help quarantine part of the country in the event of a pandemic of the avian bird flu. Bush said, quote, I'm not predicting an outbreak. I'm suggesting to you that we need to be thinking about it. Okay, so what he's saying there for you and I, John, I'm gonna translate from chimp into human.
Thank you. Please do.
Means I'm going to, whenever I feel like it, declare martial law over some flim-flam bird flu, turd flu epidemic. That's what I'm saying.
Blurred flu.
Okay, so, you know, we talked about Bush and his relation to the Nazi regime.
Yeah.
And now it's coming true, my man.
Yeah.
Can you say revolution?
Yeah, revolution.
All right, then.
Means not tell the truth. Well, you know, I was talking earlier to you on the phone about the Posse Comitatus Act. Act.
the Posse Cunnilingus Act.
The original 1878 Posse Comitatus Act was indeed passed with the intent of removing the army from domestic law enforcement, which is, you know, martial law. They can just throw the National Guard in there and stick an AK-47 in your face.
In your fucking face.
No, an M-16. Posse Comitatus means the power of the country, reflecting the inherent power of the Old West County Sheriff to call upon a posse of able-bodied men to supplement law enforcement assets and thereby maintain the peace. Following the Civil War, the Army had been used extensively throughout the South to maintain civil order, to enforce the policies of the Reconstruction era, and to ensure that any lingering sentiments of rebellion were crushed. However, in reaching those goals, the Army necessarily became involved in traditional police roles and enforcing politically volatile Reconstruction era policies. The stationing of federal troops at political events and polling places under the justification of maintaining domestic order became the increasing concern to Congress, which felt that the Army was becoming politicized and straying from its original national defense mission. The Posse Comitatus Act was passed to remove the Army from civilian law enforcement and to return it to its role of defending the borders of the United States, which it originally was designed for, is defending us from, from anybody coming in here.
Invasion,
basically. But
aliens.
But now, and they've weakened this act over more and more over time. And how I stumbled upon it was basically the Cato Institute. My favorite subject. The Cato Institute actually has a really cool policy guidebook, which I'm going to send you a link to check out.
That would be
fabulous. It has a lot of good common sense stuff in it. Some of it I don't agree with because I think it's kind of utopian libertarianism, which I don't think is really going to happen. You can't convince people that for instance, that there should be no welfare. They think you should just shut it off. And maybe we should, but they think the only way that it's going to keep single women from popping out kids is to just not give them any more money.
Well, the current welfare situation here is based on, it actually is an incentive to women to have more kids. The more kids they have, the more money they get from welfare, which
I think needs to be reformed.
Restructure it a little bit, no doubt.
But once you cut them completely off, they're going to be sucking cock and banging guys for money.
No doubt.
Which they also believe is okay because, hey, yeah, they need to make a living.
I need
my cock
sucked. Go ahead
and do it. I need my cock sucked. I'll pay you $20 to do it, whatever. And it's okay because it's not a... it's a victimless crime.
Yes.
But in the end, I don't think it's going to be victimless because somebody's going to start, passing around some diseases. So there has to be some sort of
control. Put a rubber on it.
But we can get into that whole crazy
shit. All right.
Shit
well,
some other
let
time.
Me just conclude on this whole Bush catapulting the propaganda. So he comes out and he comes up with this bullshit avian flu, which is a real threat. But he's saying, I don't care about vaccinating everybody. Here's what I care about. Putting the army in your city when I feel like it to get martial law and quarantine
right,
you.
Right.
Which is basically a Nazi regime. All right. And then...
Which he blows off the Posse Comitatus Act.
Yeah, the Posse Cunnilingus Act.
Comitatus.
And then, Pakistan just had an earthquake and 30,000 people died.
Yeah.
But what is the first thing the motherfucking Pakistani prime minister says?
What's that?
Yeah, we're not going to... Oh, let me get into character. We are not going to be able to handle the terror threat anymore because we have to divert resources to the 30,000 people that we need to... that are dead and the 2.5 million people that are homeless. Now, I can think of 125 goddamn questions before I'd ask that question.
Right.
But for some reason, that was the first goddamn question that was asked. And this guy has to answer it. So you know that the Bush blew a call into him and said, yeah, we'll send you helicopters, but you got to respond to this and you got to answer this question on CNN.
Right.
That you're not going to be able to handle the terror anymore. And that'll make me look like a stronger douchebag than I am because I'm a fucking monkey chimp. And how about Karl Rove?
Yeah. We could get to that in the next segment.
All right, part three.
John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.
Episode 22, part two concludes.
That's
We're
right.
We're one click away to part three.
Yeah, I'm John.
Scott.
I'll be right back. Wow. Wheel.
What, are you going to kill me, man?
You're listening to John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.